أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat. We're talking about the concept of مخلصين له الدين, being one of those that are مخلصين له الدين. And we explained how مخلصين له الدين is to try to turn all attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Ibrahim is quoted to have said in the Holy Quran, to have said in the وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Okay. Usually this is said to be a recommended verse to recite when at the beginning of prayer. Before you begin your prayer, before you say Takbiratul Ihram, before you say that Allahu Akbar, there's different things that we have that have been mentioned to say. For example, this verse. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. I turn my face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ. I turn that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's other verses, other du'as that we have before beginning the prayer to try to gather one's attention so we can direct our attention and try to move away from everything else before we say Allahu Akbar. Alright. But what this verse contains, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I'm turning towards him, حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. I have this حَنِيفِيَّة, which there's many ahadith talking about what حَنِيف means here. Maybe for some other time we can talk about it. مُسْلِمًا, this Islam or this تَسْلِيم, which is the same as وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِي. وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِي talks about the inner self, again turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. And then this one talks about full submission. That leads, if I turn directly, and if I turn all of my attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that whatever I have, whatever I do, whatever I feel, whatever I think, is going to be in the direction of the Divine. So this is the concept that we've been talking about. We talked about prayer, what that means there, and also some of the worships. And we said it's not limited to that. Tawajjuh ila Allah, turning our face to the Divine, changing our direction in life, that inner self, turning that towards the Divine, is not limited to prayer and the worships. We have to get out of this mentality that religion, the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are limited to the masjid, limited to worship, limited to the month of Ramadan. We can't be those who are Muslim only for 1 month during the year. That type of Islam is not Islam. Being Muslim only, or being Shia only for the 10 nights of the month of Muharram, or add another 30 days and make that 40 days, as some people are in the masjid for only the duration of the 40 days from the beginning of Muharram all the way until Arba'een, or 2 months, and then after that, it's back to everything else that was going on beforehand. We've got to get out of this mentality. Islam is not limited to these worships. So we talked about the work environment, what we do, jobs, occupations. And very importantly, something that is ingrained within this society that we've got to make an extra effort to try to stay away from. It's going to take extra effort to stay away from. The concept of riba, interest. They don't like to call interest usury. They consider usury bad, but interest is okay. You know, interest is wrong as well. Interest is riba as well. Let me make this a point here, because there was a camp we had in Salam Malik. We had a camp in Toronto one year, and one of the courses that we had to do in the last day or on the last day of the camp was with regards to jobs. What work is allowed and permissible, and what works are not permissible. What are we allowed to do? What are we allowed not to do? And when we came to the end of that course, people were looking at me in a weird way. I kind of cut off all the means that they were familiar with and capable of earning money in that city. For some people, they were telling me, oh, you just told them basically you can't work here. Okay, because the only things that they could do, we said that they're not allowed to do. I don't believe that that is the case, that if we want to live an Islamic life, we can't live out here. But just in case those come to our minds and want to create an excuse for us, that if we see that many of the work that is available and we would want to do is going to involve some form of haram, and therefore it's not possible to live out here in that way. So the conclusion is that it's okay. We can't live any other way. No, the conclusion of that is not that you can be allowed to get involved with interest, riba, and some of the other things that we're going to be talking about. That's not going to be the conclusion. The conclusion is going to be, if really that is your conclusion that you can't work in a fully halal way here, the conclusion of that is, sorry, but you're going to have to get up and leave, as much as you may be attached to this life here. But if that's the conclusion, you're going to have to get up and leave. So try to reach a different conclusion. Try to realize that there are ways that we can live our lives out here without being involved with it, without being involved with those muharramat. So we talked about riba. And that riba is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats very seriously. If anybody doesn't want to give up riba, then فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You're waging war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those who don't want to give up that riba. Okay. We said it's not limited to receiving riba from people, giving out loans to receive interest. It's not limited to that. Being involved with interest where there are two other parties that are giving and taking interest, I cannot be part of that. I cannot do the contract. I cannot receive the money. Okay. If the person's paying their interest, their check, their cash, whatever they're giving as a payment to that interest, we can't do that. These are fatawa that are found. Let me mention this as well, just to clarify. I was mentioning this ruling that we can't. Basically means that a lot of the work that is done in a bank, we can't be part of it. We can't be part of a lot of the work that is happening in the bank. We can not work in many positions in a bank. Okay. If we are going to be okaying all the transactions, and without our okay, it's not going to go through. We're okaying a lot of interest-based contracts. That's not going to be allowed. Okay. Now, one understanding that existed, and still exists apparently, some people have explained it this way, that this ruling is not applicable to kuffar getting and taking interest from each other. Okay. That applies to where a Muslim is involved. If a Muslim is going to be paying interest, then that's something that's haram. Okay. If you want to be involved with that business, you want to bring, want to, and give a loan, a mortgage, something to a Muslim that's going to be involving interest, that's something that's not allowed. But if you want to be involved with non-Muslims, it's these people, they're going to be doing it anyway. Okay, so for us, it's going to be okay if we get involved with that. And they have said, some people have said, Ayatollah Sistani, may Allah give him a long life, has that fatwa. That's not an accurate understanding. He only says in his book, and the other ulama as well, and I did just to make sure, because it was pretty clear, but I went and checked some of the other scholars as well, just to make sure I'm not having a misunderstanding here. It's very clear. The only thing that is allowed is a Muslim receiving interest from a non-Muslim. He says this is allowed. If your job in a bank, I don't think you're going to get that job, that only when a Muslim is going to be paying interest, you're going to be receiving their interest. I don't think you can do that. But anyway, this is something that you can do. You can receive that interest. And if a Muslim is going to be receiving interest from another entity, like a bank, for example, and you want to facilitate that, that's going to be allowed. But otherwise, if it's between non-Muslims, or between a Muslim and a kafir, where the kafir is receiving the interest, like in a mortgage, this is something that's not allowed. We cannot be part of that at all. We said a salawat, please. This mic system this year is really loving me. So, that's something that's not allowed. But one thing that I didn't clarify, for to make life a little easier for some, or many people maybe had questions with regards to this, what about mortgages, what about credit cards and things like that? Is that, because pretty much that means we're not going to own a house here. Okay, if mortgages are a no-no, that means we're deprived of buying homes in this country. And if loans with interest are a no-no, then that means, well, a lot of businesses are not going to be able to function without those loans. So we had this shock strategy yesterday. Just throw it out there and shock everybody about riba, so we really understand how terrible it is, because we're desensitized towards it. Okay, we don't feel how bad it is, and therefore we just see it. We're just the whole system. We got to try to keep ourselves clean. But when it comes to receiving loans that have interest attached to them, mortgages that are such, there is a way where you can make that halal. Okay. If you just go to the bank and sign that contract, that's a sin. Okay. That is haram. That is something that we can't do. Receiving a interest-based loan is also a sin. Just receiving the interest by the lender is not something that is haram. Agreeing to that contract and making payments based on the contract afterwards is something which is also considered haram and a sin. This is clear. All right. But those who need to make use of this, and here, unfortunately, the system is such that you can't find any loan that is not interest-based. Okay, unfortunately. There is no way you can get a loan without the interest. So you want to take that loan. There is a way where we can take that loan without getting involved with the sin, without being agreeing to the sinful part of it and making the payments of that way. If anybody is interested, which I'm sure many people are, because it's detailed, it's not part of a lecture. Afterwards, maybe we can address that, or those who are not here to ask that question, they can refer to the Risala of the Marja. Each of the Marja has a different way that they want to address that particular issue. One of the other Muharramat, which is related to, well, related to a number of things, is consumption and whatever has to do with alcohol. That's one of those, another one of those very devastating sins, one of those sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned a number of times in the Holy Quran, and we have some severe ahadith with regards to this. Okay. Firstly, something that I hope none of us here have ever been involved with or ever will be involved with, but just to vaccinate. The verses of the Holy Quran talk about this. Okay. If the verses of the Holy Quran talk about this, I think it's not a bad idea every now and then to hear a little something about it. Okay. I am shocked that there are, of course, people that don't abide by this drinking, the drinking of alcohol itself. Okay. There are some people, and unfortunately, I've heard some terrible things. I've heard in certain communities, not only have people, the youth, in certain instances, al-ayadu billah, God forbid, taken some drinks of wine or whatever it is on flights or elsewhere where they haven't seen their parents around. Sometimes, of course, in this society that is so ingrained with it, again, this is one of the cultures that exists, one of the evil cultures that exists in the West in general, some places worse and some places it's not as bad, but it exists throughout the West. In some places they have developed such a terrible habit of drinking that it's ridiculous. But unfortunately, the civilized West, for some reason, is not willing to understand how terrible this is and to just get rid of it instead of allowing it and then having to deal with the problems. How many times do you hear drunk driving is a serious problem in this country? Okay. It causes lives. People lose their lives because of this. But they don't get rid of the alcohol. Just say, look, if you take that alcohol, don't drink. Well, don't drive. If the guy is drunk, they're going to do anything. Okay. They don't understand at that point what they're doing. Okay. You don't want to even be around them because they may be very dangerous. A brother was talking in Scotland, and the UK has one of the worst drinking habits that I have heard of. Okay. Terrible. And then they come up with some of the stupidest policies as well. Before I say that story, let me tell you this. I don't know, maybe I mentioned this, but the stupidity is so funny. It won't hurt to hear that again. They used to have their pubs open up to, I don't know, 12 p.m. or something like that, all right? And the youth, the ones who have now just been allowed, they have been given the liberty to go and drink now, they can't have enough of it, they go to the pub, and when it gets close to that time, okay, when it gets close to the time when the pub wants to close, they just start bent drinking and they get really drunk. I mean, they completely get out of it. All right. And apparently, this is what I was told. I don't know how accurate it is, but the people in Britain were telling me this. In order to deal with this problem, the solution was, let's make the pubs 24 hours. Okay. So people can drink more. Instead of limiting it, instead of restricting it, instead of saying that you can't get rid of this. No, people want to keep that going. So I hope we're not involved with it. I hope to God we're not involved with it. But in case sometime Shaitan starts tickling us within to give it a try. I've said this in a number of places. Really, when you see some of those bottles, the way they're packaged, you know, they look so nice, and the way they deal with it. I was just on an Emirates flight. Unfortunately, you know, it's really unfortunate that these Muslim countries are so involved with all of these sins. And I got upgraded to business class for the first part of the flight. Unfortunately, it was just 2 hours long. I wish I had gotten upgraded for the 14 hours. But anyway. This guy asked for wine. The guy came, and they have a very special method of pouring that wine. Okay, when it comes to, the culture of consuming this evil beverage, the packaging is so nice. judging is so, you ask for it, the whole procedure of just bringing it is so nice that you, you know, you're like, oh, let's try this. Okay. Yeah, I hope you don't have experience. Okay. It's ridiculous. Okay. Sometimes people get tempted, and especially when people are not around, so it's not harmful to hear this about drinking. There was a hadith, I didn't write it down. Let me share it with you. Recite a salawat, please. Those who are looking for scary things, okay, to just scare the daylights out of them, so that they wouldn't want to even go towards something. The hadith said that sharibul khamr, someone who drinks, okay, what they're going to be given in the hereafter in hell is going to be, because I think we talked about this before as well, it's not bad, again, as a reminder to go over this. One of the things about hell is, well, you get really thirsty, obviously. Not only is it extremely hot, we can't even take, what's the temperature here? 80, 90 degrees? Okay, 100 degrees, 120. It's extremely hot. Not only that, there's fruits that they have. When you get hungry, you take those fruits, you eat them, and they make you so thirsty, you're looking for water. Okay, so thirst is a big problem over there, right? And there's loads of talk in the verses of the Holy Quran and in our ahadith about what type of drink you're going to be given. For sharibul khamr, it says that they're going to have this drink that will be handed to them when they're thirsty. Okay, it's disgusting. All right, it's so disgusting. I don't know how I'm going to be saying it. The recite a salawat, please. Sometimes a word is there and it's not coming. Recite another salawat, please. Not come. Those who are involved with zina, okay, those who, well, one word comes to mind, but the other word I was looking for, those who fornicate, okay, that's sin, right? Those who fornicate are going to be kept in a place in hell, and they're going to, well, be beaten and whatever, and there's blood and pus and everything coming out of them, and that turns into a stream, okay, that is collected and made into a cup and given to sharibul khamr, to drink when they're really thirsty. Okay, if you just try to a little bit picture what that actually is, having it, just seeing it, smelling it is so disgusting, you wouldn't want to have it. This is what is given to sharibul khamr. And as we said before, these punishments which are mentioned are not just punishment that are irrelevant to the act. This drink that people have here, this shurbul khamr, drinking this evil drink, is in its real nature, the reality of it is that, okay, it just doesn't manifest until you go to the hereafter. That's one hadith. Another hadith we have from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi is, he says, لا يزال العبد في فسحة من الله عز وجل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is treating a believer with his mercy, his vast and endless mercy, helping this believer in many different ways, providing the sustenance that the person needs, providing different forms of mercy, the visible, the external, what this body requires, as well as what the soul requires. All of that is sustenance, all of that is rizq. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly provides for us. Even if we commit sins here and there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still continues with that. Part of that rizq, part of that rahmah, part of that mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us is that we're able to avoid sins. Okay, we are protected. That's one of the things that we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the believers. If you're trying to avoid sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you. It's called Ruhul Iman in the Ahadith. It's called Ruhul Iman, the spirit of faith. What is it exactly? It's beyond me, but it exists. You have protection. It says, لا يزال العبد في فسحة من الله. This vast and endless mercy is constantly coming to the believer, حتى يشرب الخمر, until you take that sip of wine, okay, the alcoholic beverage. You take that, then what happens? فإذا أشربها خرق الله عز وجل عنه سرباله. Once you take that drink, what happens is that you have this qamis, this clothing, this dress that is covering your body. Okay, it's metaphoric. Clothes, when you wear them, they protect you in many different ways. What needs to be covered, what we would not like to reveal of our bodies, what is shameful to reveal of us, the body, the clothing protects us, and it doesn't reveal that. It gives us a good look, okay? It protects us from the cold, and it protects us from the heat. You don't get suntan. So the properties of clothes are this: it provides us benefit, it protects us from certain things, okay? It conceals certain things from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that spiritually, when you're attached to Allah, when you have that iman, when you're trying to practice, when you're avoiding sin, and you're not drinking, then you have this protective clothing on you. Okay. But once you take that sip, you drink that wine, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes that off you. You're stripped of it. Okay. And what happens? What's the problem with that? وَكَانَ وَلِيُّهُ وَأَخِيهِ إِبْلِيسِ. Okay, their wali becomes Iblis. The person who will have authority over them is going to be Iblis. Their brother is not going to be the believers anymore. We have some harsh ahadith on this. It says, if you know somebody as Sharibul Khamr, do not trust them. Do not, if they die, you don't need to really participate in their burial. Very, very harsh. This brotherhood is going to be kind of cut off between believers and this person. Instead, there's going to be a relation made with the shaitan himself, with Iblis and the devil himself. كَانَ وَلِيُّهُ وَأَخُوهُ إِبْلِيسَ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَمْعُهُ وَبَصَرُهُ وَيَدُهُ وَرِجْلُهُ. Shaitan becomes this person's ears, this person's eyes, and this person's hand and feet. He takes him wherever he wishes, makes him listen to whatever, speak whatever, do whatever Shaitan wants. This is one other hadith. So, with regards to the drinking of this evil substance, this evil beverage, different forms of it, the beer that's out there, even if the alcohol is reduced, all of these things are things that we need to strictly stay away from them. And inshallah, I hope none of us have ever been involved and will never get involved with this. Especially the younger brothers and sisters. Sometimes, and parents have to be careful of this. Okay, extremely careful of this. Sometimes children are sent off in right after high school, and they go to college, they go and they stay in the dorms, okay? Parents trust them, and it's good to have trust in the children, but trust doesn't mean not to help them avoid sin, okay? I trust them, they're good, this is a good person, I've raised them, inshallah, they don't want to get involved with sin. However, the circumstances there are so tempting sometimes that even if you, forget about your son or your daughter, if you were there at ages 40, 50, you can still slip if you stay in that environment for long. Okay. It's terrible in some of those universities, the dorms, or even if they have an apartment and they go, because everybody is so involved with this drinking business, and then other things that follow, alayyadu billah, fornication, having different relationships with It's something that we have to be extra careful with. The youth keep this in mind. The younger ones who are later on going to go or are already there struggling with it. These are good ahadith to listen to. But the real reason which we introduce this topic of drinking or alcohol and the hurma, the forbiddance that we have with regards to this, is that many of us are not, inshallah, are not involved with drinking this ourselves, all right? But we're involved with it in other ways. For example, the sale of it. Inshallah, we don't have anybody here, but we do have some Muslims, some Shias, believers in the Ahlul Bayt, believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who set up businesses. They have small grocery stores, or they have restaurants, and they serve alcohol. They think that they can give it to non-Muslims. This is not the case. This is a sin. Okay. This is one of those muharramat, one of those sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken very negatively about, and many different things related to it have been forbidden. Okay. We've got to try to avoid many things that are even that are related to it. They're not even drinking it itself, but they have to do with businesses that are related to it. The sale of it is haram, period. Okay, it doesn't matter who you sell it to. There's no way a believer can sell this substance to anyone. As the owner of the store, yes. But also, if you're going and working in a grocery store or a department store that has alcoholic beverages there, some of the rulings that we have are pretty serious about that. Pretty serious. Some of the maraja believe you can't even be the janitor. You can't even sweep the floor in a store that has alcohol being sold in it. It's devastating. Alcohol destroys societies. And that's why Islam treats and deals with it very severely. Many of the problems in families that there's separations that happen, divorces that take place are related to the drinking of this substance. Plenty of problems arise in this. What it does is that it removes the aql, it removes the intellect temporarily. And some people get so hooked onto it, they're constantly drinking. And there's a danger of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep the society clean of that. Don't think that, oh, they're non-Muslims, who cares, whatever. No. If the non-Muslims even were to avoid certain sins, you know what it does is that, although they're not believers, but it helps a non-Muslim who is able to avoid certain sins, stay away from certain ugly deeds, what that will do is that it's going to clear up their heart a bit, and they will be more open to the acceptance of Islam. And in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually guides them. I don't know if you've seen people like that or not. Sometimes you're just amazed how a person is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide, He has His ways of guiding. I heard the story that somebody just bent down, they saw in New York City, okay, in Manhattan, a very crowded city, they saw a book on the ground, picked it up, it's a book on Islam. They read it, they got interested, followed it up, they became Muslim. What are the chances of this person getting there? Seeing that, probably loads of other people got there, and they saw the book, they didn't pick it up. Okay, this book was brought at the right time, left there, and this person arrives there, picks it up, reads it. He doesn't just trash it. He reads it. Let's see what it is. And he gets interested and he is guided. Don't think that just happens haphazardly. Okay. Don't just think that people out of the blue, without any reason, are chosen and selected for this and others are not. No. If a person is receiving blessings like that, receiving guidance in this very extraordinary way, it's because they've done something. One of them is avoiding sins. Okay, one of them is avoiding sins. If we can, if we would have the non-believers, the non-Muslims, avoid some of the ugly deeds that they're involved in, it would make them more receptive, more open to religion, more open to Islam. One of the reasons why certain parts of the world you'll have atheism spreading like wildfire in Europe, in parts of Europe, you will see that atheism is a serious problem. Okay, there's too many atheists. I mean, atheists that just don't believe in God at all. Some of them deny God completely. All right, because you have people that do believe in some God, they just don't believe in any, as they call it, organized religion, but they believe in a God. You have many people that completely reject God over there. If you refer to their cultures, you see that there's a lot more sinful things happening. All right. So we don't like the disbelievers, we don't like the non-Muslims to be involved with this, and therefore we cannot be part of the system that's going to help these even non-Muslims pick this drink up and drink it. We can't be part of that. Whether it's us selling it in our store, which we're not allowed to, or it is working in a store that is selling it, if we move away from that very difficult fatwa that says even working in that, doing something completely different in that store is not allowed, those who don't have as strict a fatwa, they do agree though that you can have nothing to do with that alcoholic beverage. If you're working there putting the different items for sale on the shelves, you can't put the alcohol up. All right, you can't touch that alcohol. If you're working as a cashier, they bring alcohol, beer, wine, whatever, and they want you to, what is it called? Ring it, scan it, whatever. You know, stay away from the country for too long. This is what happens. Simple words, just not. It's not something that I deal with on a day-to-day basis over there in English. Anyway, so they want you to scan it. You can't do it. You can't scan it. You need for it. All right. This is something that we have to take seriously. It is haram. That money that comes in based on this is going to be haram. Suht, as the ahadith say. Suht. Let me read you one hadith with regards to this. Recite a salawat, please. Zayd ibn Ali. Okay, who's Zayd ibn Ali? You should know. Zayd ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn. Okay, the shaheed. This individual, an abaihi, from his father, from Imam Zainul Abidin, from his father, Imam al-Husayn, all the way to the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. It says, لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ الْخَمْرَ وَعَاصِرُهَا وَمُعْتَصِرُهَا وَبَائِعُهَا وَمُشْتَرِيهَا وَسَاقِيهَا وَآكِلُ ثَمَنِهَا وَشَارِبِهَا وَحَامِلِهَا وَالْمَحْمُولَةِ إِلَيْهِ. Allah, the Holy Prophet, cursed and did la'an of anyone. Well, first, la'an al-khamr, the drink itself, wine and any alcoholic beverage, beer and everything else too. And wa'asiruha, whoever makes the wine, all right, being involved with the business of making wine is something which is haram. Ba'i'uha, whoever sells it. Mushtariha, whoever buys it. Saqiha, whoever serves it. Okay. Akilu thamaniha, if you're making money off of this in any way, it's haram. Akilu thamaniha. Sharibuha, the person who drinks it. Hamiruha, if you're not even serving it, you're not selling it, you're not doing any of that, you're just transporting it. Okay. You're working in a transportation company and they want you to deliver beer or wine or anything like that. Sorry, you can't do that. That's one of the muharramat. That's a sin. Hamiluha wal mahmula ilay. So working with wine, with alcoholic beverages is haram. In any way, we have got to avoid that. And the last thing with regards to this is something that's seen a little less. For those of us who have a little more money and we are making investments, recite a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, ajjal farajahum. Those of us who have a little more money, we have investments. Okay, sometimes we ourselves actively get involved with investing that money. Sometimes we ourselves don't get involved with investing that money in different companies. Okay, we don't do that. We delegate it and we have others do it for us. All right. We have to be very, very careful, because investment in companies that are in the business of producing it, are in the business of selling it. Okay. For example, if you want to have the stocks of Walmart, I don't know if you can, I'm not in the business, but if you like to have the stocks of any of those grocery companies that carry beer or wine or any of that, beer or wine, okay, it's not going to be something which is allowed. Investment in companies that have anything to do with the alcohol industry, alcohol in this sense of it, obviously not in the medical sense of it, ethanol and so on and so forth. Alcoholic beverages, the sale of it, the production of it, the transportation of it, and so on and so forth. Investment in such companies is going to be haram. Okay, it is a sin. So if we want to have ikhlas fi al-deen, if we want to be mukhlisin lahu al-deen, if we want to have what the Prophet Ibrahim says, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. We can't allow Islam to show itself, the religious teachings show itself in our worships, in our prayers, in our fasts, in our charity. No. The source of our income, what we do for our earning and so on and so forth, and other things that inshallah, if I feel something beneficial for the audience here, we're going to touch on other things as well. But this is a very, very important part of being that mukhlasina lahuddin, something which is very scary as a reminder, okay? Whether it's the example of being involved with alcohol, involved with other sinful and haram work and occupations that we're going to be earning through, we have to keep in mind, all right, for some of us, talking about God and getting closer to Him doesn't hit us, all right? For some of us, even talking about the hereafter and the punishments in hell is something that doesn't hit us. We think that, oh, inshallah, sometime in the future, we'll repent, we'll leave this, and we'll be a good leader on. But something which does hit a lot of us, hopefully, as the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, all right, as those who love the Ahlul Bayt, those who remember the stories of the Ahlul Bayt, the stories of the cruelties that took place with regards and in relation to the Ahlul Bayt, we weep and we cry, we commemorate them, we take pride in that, we remember their enemies, and we curse them, we want to be as far away from them as we can. For those of us that this is important to us, and I hope it is important to all of us, okay, we have to keep in mind Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi, on the day of Ashura, when he spoke to the people who had invited him to come to Kufa, and now many of them were his enemies fighting against him, the Imam is trying to save them. He wants to speak to them to try to remind them, why are they doing this? When he wanted to speak to them, some of them said, let's start making noise. Helhela. in order that we don't hear the imam. They didn't want to hear it. Okay. They didn't want to hear it. And the imam responded to that and said that, of course, you don't want to hear haqq. You don't want to hear the truth. Because muli'at butunukum min al-haram. Your bellies are filled with haram. Okay. Let's not take this lightly. I think it's worth everything to leave any type of shady business, any type of occupation, any type of work that involves us earning through a haram means. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed eve of the month of Ramadan, these blessed moments of getting near to the time of Maghrib, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, give us a better understanding of our religion, give us a better ability to implement, give us the strength of making those decisions so that we turn our faces, the faces of our hearts, completely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Him to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to help us become His true companions. We are companions. We can give good health to all those who are helping, the good health to Imam, especially the Maraja and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive and those who have left this world. We ask Him to forgive them all of their sins. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, by the right of Babul Hawaj Musa ibn Ja'far. There's many people that are suffering illnesses, suffering from different problems. Some have issues with their job, their business is down. Other problems, religious problems. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time for Him to relieve all the believers in the world of the hardships, grant them their needs, their hajat, cure all of the ill from the believers all over the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions that they are facing. Bin Nabiya wa alih rahimallah man qara'a al-fatihata ma'as salawat.